Right now on VFN TV, we're continuing our amazing interview with Dr. Russ Moyer of Eagle Worldwide Ministries. It's so encouraging, so many inspiring things. As a matter of fact, let's join in now on that interview.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Well, I was talking to this particular lady. I'm going to some surgery situation, and they call you ahead of time, and they talk about your little checklist and all different things like this. And I was listening to her voice, and I said, "Oh yeah," I said, "Do y'all have the ability to heal broken hearts?" And she said, "No, we don't." And I said, "Wouldn't that be nice? Because you can go in, and you can get a lung fix, you can get a leg fix, you can get these different things fixed, but." Here you are with a broken heart and you can't fix it." And she says, "Yeah, I know." And then she began to share her heart. And she said, "My son just died." And I said, "Oh my, what happened?" And she said, "You know, he was in his late 30s, early 40s. And his whole life he had suffered with physical things in his body. He was underweight. He had gout in his feet. He had to stand for work. His heart was smaller when he was born, so he struggled with his heart. And so he was constantly going through things." And she just drove him to the hospital, you know, like that week. And he was going to pass, and they're talking. And he said to her, because she's like, "I don't know why all this is happening to you all the time. Your life has been like this." He says, "You know, Mom," he says, "you can learn something. It's almost like God's you can learn something when you're suffering." 2 days later, he would be in his bed that night and he wouldn't wake up. He would have a heart attack in his sleep. But she and I just melted together, you know, and have broken hearts over the phone. She says, "Listen, when you get here, you know, when your appointment comes up," she says, "call me up. I want to talk to you." So he had all these patients that are there normally. And so I walk up at the counter and she comes out and we're just connecting and everybody just disappeared and God is with us. Mm. And it was just brokenness and the glory of God. And we knew God, we knew each other, and it was the most beautiful thing. And we've been connected ever since. But Russ, that's where I wanna live. I wanna live in that place. Does that make sense? Because that's where he moves, that's where he heals. But then we have to go through those times and seasons of brokenness.
Yes.
And embrace it and don't run from it, but begin to know him in that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. It seems like it happens at a season, as at a breakthrough moment.
Yeah.
And you know, you go through things of a broken heart.
Right.
Whether it's relational, whether it's health, whatever the trial or tribulation is, right when you're at the point of promotion, when you're at the point of breakthrough,
right,
something begins to come apart,
yeah,
and the enemy begins to do what the enemy always does,
right,
at that point when God is trying to launch you into a new place, new position.
Yeah.
And it's easy to see somebody walking down the aisle with a cast on and two crutches.
Right.
But when their heart is broken.
Yeah.
And it's in that place God is about our heart. This body is gone.
Yes, it is.
In a moment of time.
Yeah.
In a twinkle of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then when our, you know, we're spirit leave our body, we're gonna come face to face with the Lord.
Right.
This is just a temporary, this ain't Brother Russ.
Thank you.
Brother Russ is in here, but this ain't Brother Russ. I got a glorified body. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
But it's all in those moments that things happen to us. That's the journey.
Yeah.
It's all about the journey.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the destination is wonderful and destiny is awesome. And I love all the revelation of destiny and I want to fulfill my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much about the journey.
Yeah.
And I want to glean from it in every season and learn and grow and change. Right. You know, God's changing things all over the earth right now. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing to me is God changed me.
Yeah.
He said to me about 3 years ago, he said, I don't want you just to, it's not enough just to embrace change or to tolerate change. He said, in order for you to fulfill your destiny, you're going to have to fall in love with change.
We're like, so true.
Like 70 years old, it's a little bit harder to change. And I'm saying, God,
you do good, yeah.
I am falling in love again with change right now.
It's beautiful.
I'm falling in love with change. He's changing me every day. And I want to be open to that change. I want to be a different man than next year than I am this year. Yeah. I want to continue that work of transformation in my life.
I can see transformation in your life. I can see it. I mean, things have just shifted.
Yes.
But suffering went through a time of it didn't just come.
Yeah.
It's a journey. I know that Paula Wright just wrote a book. She's just out about her own true brokenness story. And she said it's so powerful because she's about faith. And she said, you know, for so long, I just said, you know, you can change things by faith. You can change things by faith. And she realized through her journey is faith is not about changing things, but it's about getting you through things, keeping your confidence and faith in God that He's with you in the journey.
Yes.
You know, the faith.
He is really with us.
I thought that was very powerful, you know, because if you start thinking faith changes things, then you're not realizing God is the one that's changing things through your faith. Yes. But that having that, because He's with you, He's just with you. If you just read biblically, you could find out that the journeys that took place. And it could be because the fact in our human nature, we're prideful, you know, He don't want to lose us, you know. And you read about the final quest with Rick Joyner's book, the vision that he'd had of what the, you know, very mighty men of God came down with just like two demons of pride could take him down. And it's like, that's one thing. I think that's one reason why we need each other. Because if you have each other and you have that relationship, then your brother can see things and your spiritual father can see things and that, you know, but you got to have that love first, love relationship.
And, you know, pride in all of us is an ongoing battle.
Yeah.
You know, there's a healthy pride in the things that you do. And there's a healthy ego that needs to be inside of each one of us, or else we'll be impossible to motivate. Mm-hmm. But everything has to be in that proper balance and right way. And we all fight pride. Mm-hmm. We all fight ambition at one time or another. Self is the battle.
Yeah.
The battle is raging all over the place, but the rattle is raging here, and the battle is raging here. Mm-hmm. In fact, in our minds right now, more than anywhere else, I mean, the great battle came at the place of the skull, and the enemy still wants to do battle with us here.
Right.
In that place in our mind, whether it's the sin that tries to chase every man down.
Right, right.
And I'll tell you what, the sexual sin is all around us and we're only ever one step away.
Right.
And we see people today fall away from the faith and fall to sexual sin, fall to financial iniquity. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a season of the great falling away in every way that we can see, the great apostasy. They're not just falling away from church, they're falling away from God.
Right.
They're trying to remove God from society. We're in a season of great apostasy. It's one of the end time signs. This is going to come right before the great harvest that's coming.
Right.
It's all part of the whole program. There's a sifting and a seeding that's happening. And God is going to turn this all somehow into good.
Right.
And He loves His church, and we're in a purifying process right now. And we need to be able to address issues in church and in the sanctuary, the legitimate things that people are going through.
Right.
And we're going to have to deal with things outwardly and openly, like, you know, like sex and homosexuality and same-sex marriage and abortion. We're going to have to talk openly about these things. And if they don't learn it there, and if the young people now, if the next thing you know, we're blushing, guess what? God hears all this stuff. He ain't blushing. Right. He just ain't happy.
Right.
We can't blush. We've got to deal with the issues head on and face on.
Right.
You know what I mean? We got got to face these things down and deal with them today in a righteous way. Right. We need to bring them to the cross, and we need to deal with them in a radical and logical way so that our young people know that we're real. There's a generation that's looking, that's hungry, that's hunting, but they're looking for the authentic. They're looking for the real. And, I mean, you know, they love the stories about Azusa Street in Brownsville in Toronto, and they're all great, and so do I, but there's a generation that's saying, how about us? Yeah. What's God going to do us? Well, what's God going to do now? You know what? I'm looking for the next thing right now myself, or what God's doing. Right. They were all wonderful experiences and great stories and the great experience that I had.
Right.
But you know what? The best is yet to come.
Something new is coming.
And something brand new.
Something totally. So I feel like, you know, that the crisis, the wealth transfer, and the harvest are simultaneous. Everything God's showing me, all that's going to happen at the same time. So if you focus on the crisis, you're going to miss the glory. If you just focus on the glory, you're going to miss the harvest. It's like all of it's going to happen simultaneously, because that presence of the glory brings, you know, a purging, but also brings in a desire to give, but also the giving is for the harvest that's yet to come.
I had a little something on my heart. I know that you're open to the prophetic, and that you are prophetic and you are apostolic. Yeah. But there's something on my heart. There are some people out there right now that God is touching your heart. And some of you have been hearing things about business and about finances, about kingdom wealth, and God is calling you right now into business. He's calling you to take that step, that bold step of faith. Yeah. There's some other ones that He's calling you out of business, that you're in the midst of great change and transition, and you're going to have to consecrate yourself in this moment and take a leap of faith. There are some of you that are being called out, and some are being called into business, some are being called out of business. This is a moment. If that's you right now, just grab a hold of it. Just put your hand on your heart. Yes. And tell God that yes, yes, and yes again. Yes, I'm ready. Send me. I'll go. I'll do. In this changing season, God's going to meet you right where you're at. Yeah. There's also a man you have a relationship that has gone bad, and the relationship has gotten worse. The relationship is with another man. It has to do with like your uncle, and. This relationship has gotten worse and worse, and you don't know how to repair it. And the Lord says, now rest in me. I'm working on his heart. I'm going to restore it. Mm-hmm. There's a woman right now, you lost a child, and you in the process of that, you've lost your will to live. And right now, life is coming to you.
Yes.
New life.
New life.
New understanding, healing to your heart.
Yes,
right now, he's healing that hole, that broken place, that hopelessness in your heart that was trying to make you want to give up.
Yes, Lord.
Now's the time that life is coming your way, new life and a new start and a new heart, says the Lord.
Awesome. That's totally awesome. Feel free. I feel free as the Lord leads you. We're going to come right back to this amazing interview with Dr. Russ Moyer. Listen, comment below. What are your thoughts about what Russ Moyer is sharing, some of the thoughts we're talking about? We want to hear from you. Your comments are very important to us. Comment below. Also, don't forget you can connect to us in the VFNKB community. Go to VFNKBcommunity.com. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
An explosion of happiness.
These kids are so excited because they are receiving toys for the very first time.
Who doesn't want a gift? Who doesn't want a present?
It shows them that out there are people who really care about you.
You've got an army of volunteers that pack the boxes.
Our volunteers for Operation Christmas Child, I believe, are the lifeline of this project.
To think that we can be part of something that's going to reach over 10 million kids this year, that's exciting.
When the box ends into the hands of a child, that is not the end.
The big impact at the end of the day is lives that are changed.
It's my prayer that God will use you to tell others about His Son, Jesus Christ.
Operation Christmas Child is creating a ripple that's going around the globe.
So it started with a box, and it's ending with communities and countries being changed.
You know, these boxes are like a candle. It's a little bit of light that you take into a dark part of the world, and it makes a difference.
Thank you. Awesome. Very good.
We want the children of the world to know that there is a God. He loves them.
So many times in the airports, I just want to get on my seat and get in the movie and everything, but God uses it to open my eyes and say, no, like, you might be flying somewhere to speak to thousands, but it's just as important that your eyes are open to the person that is sitting next to you and how God can use those little moments in your life, but not just for yourself, but for other people. And it could be in Ubers and taxis and airplanes, and it's not just about the destination, it's about the journey there. And look, if your eyes are open to every single thing that I have in store for you, if your eyes are open all the time. And it's not just when you get to church on Sunday that God can work. It's the entire week. And I feel sometimes I fall in that rut that I'm just waiting till the next time I share with people, or next time I'm in church, or I go to this conference, or I'm doing a devotional. And it's like, no, our church doesn't happen between the pews. Our church happens every day because we serve a God that's in the business of miracles and loving people. And that happens all the time, any place, anywhere that there are people, our God can show.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm noticing also, too, this is something the Lord specifically has shown me, that we need pastors that love God's people.
Yes.
And that their joy is, you know, understanding God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people. Can you help? That they actually have that father or mother heart towards his people. And, you know, it could be because of pain and all the things we go through, whatever, but God's shown me specifically, you know, I'm speaking to these 20s and 30s group of all different men and women, different ethnicities and all that. And I was talking to them, and I made the call. I said, how many of you feel like this is a prophetic vision, you know, a dream? How many feel called to be in the ministry, to be a pastor, specifically a pastor? And you know how that first response is, some of them raise their hand high, some kind of partially raised it. They had no idea what they know.
Yeah.
And so, but it was a wide spectrum, right?
Right.
And so the next thing was, all of a sudden, God moved them all, and now, you know how bunk rooms are, you know, maybe in the military or whatever, and you have this room full of bunk beds, basically. Now imagine this whole room is ice and these beds are ice. And God put all those pastors who said, he called, yes, he put them on ice. They were laying on these ice beds, right? And so then I'm gonna begin to talk to them. And you know how ice is, you're from Canada there. So, but I had just shoes on. So I just took one step and I began to skate basically on my shoes. But Russ, God broke my heart. And I just began to weep as I began to tell them what the cost is to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. As they were laying on these beds of ice, being trained up through brokenness, that the price of every call is brokenness, that the pastor's heart. And God is raising it. This is somebody right now, that's you, that God's called you to be a pastor. And you get the call, yeah. But then you got to be trained, you got to be mentored, you got to be, there's something to that. You know, you got to fan and inflame that gift. And I just want to encourage you, if that's you, you know, get in contact with those around you. Maybe there's somebody you can touch base with. You got a number on your screen. You can call us. Maybe you want to get connected to us, or maybe through Russ's ministry. But you don't want to do it alone. It's not good for man to be alone. And even though you have a church that you're pastoring, more pastors are alone. They're fatherless. They're alone. And it won't go good. It won't last long. And next thing you know, you'll be the issue. And so you need to lead. And one way you can do that is to have somebody in your life to be able to speak into your life. And God has shown me that he's raising men and women up. I mean, possibly that's you. And you don't feel so confident in that. You know, you're thinking like, You're not supposed to. You're just responding to the first time he talks to you about it. But he'll begin to grow that call and that anointing in your life. You need to be trained up, because God is going to put pastors over his people who will lay down their life and find joy in laying down their life. And I'm talking about masses. You can't pastor 10,000 people. I'm talking about pastoring a family size believers, that you go through their life together, that you eat with them, that you fellowship with them, you celebrate them, you go to their graduation with them, you marry them, you times when life ends here in this life, that you bury them and celebrate that their life. And this is what God's looking for. You know, he's looking for, maybe that's you. And all this ambition about being something other than the greatest thing is what Jesus did. He walked with 12 and he pastored those 12, even though he reached the world and he set the example for us. So if that's you, I'm just speaking to you right now. If that's you, you got a call of God on you. You feel like you're supposed to pastor. You don't know much about it, but you feel that, you know, contact us. Maybe contact Russ as well. And there's it's not just, don't just go anywhere, because you got tradition and these different things that are lined up that put you in this process of mental gymnastics to do something to qualify for a position. And there's not anointing in that. You want the anointing of God to be able to train you up and to prepare you, because he has a huge harvest coming that's going to require many, many pastors to love his people. If that's you, no contacts, as you see a web address on your screen right there, and there'll be a season in training. You'll be like on ice. And during that time, you're going to have people pour their hearts out to you, and you listen to that and apply that, and it'll literally be just life to you and wisdom to you and taking care of God's people. Well, go ahead. Yeah, please do.
You talk about pastoring. You know, I've been blessed to be able to pioneer eight churches apostolically, to birth them and pioneer them. And in the process of that, I pastored every one of them.
Yeah.
And the most difficult call of the fivefold ministry is that of a pastor.
Right.
And it requires everything that you have, and it'll bring you to a deep place of personal humility.
Yeah.
But it'll also tell you the very shepherd heart of the good shepherd. Mm. And he'll put something on you in that season. You might be prophetic by your root calling, or you may be apostolic, you may be a pastor to pastors. Mm. But when you're in that pastoral arena, he'll do something with your heart.
Right.
That will give you a heart for those that you're to walk with. Mm. And I know that a lot of pastors, they go through so much, in traveling ministry when I see them. But the great reward is that you get to see your people in every different season grow and learn.
Yeah.
Like you said, you baptize some, you dedicate some, you end up burying some.
Mm-hmm.
You're in there with them,
right.
and you see the growth, the development that God does.
Right.
And I love mentoring and discipleship.
Right.
That's really the heart of God, and that's done many times by the pastor, but certainly of the shepherd's heart. I mean, we're all called a disciple.
Right.
But discipleship happens at the local church level in a very great and special way through the heart and the life of the pastor.
Right.
And I love pastors, and they're wonderful.
You know, though I'm actually doing all the things I'm doing, you know, which is quite a bit. For my talents, it's pretty big. So, but one thing I do is that I have a church that I pastor in the midst of all this, and it keeps me healthy.
It does.
Keeps me healthy, where, you know, I need their love, I need their prayer, I love them, and we walk together. And of course, I pastor pastors and all that, but that intimacy, at least once a week,
of
where you can eat together, and you know each other, and it's authentic, and you just get renewed. Jesus is in the midst of that. Jesus is in the midst of a church gathering that's connected, you know, where there's a relationship, and that it's love, and it's prayer, and, you know, it's a family.
And he works on us in that family dynamic of local church.
Yeah.
I'm all about local church, because I believe that is the spiritual family model that God has. And in those settings, yes, it's relational, it's problems, circumstances, situations, like you encounter in any natural, healthy family. They're all dysfunctional in one degree or another, but God will use all those close relationships to work on you.
Yes, he will.
And to work something new in you, something deeper in you, something more humble in you, so that you can receive and access the grace of God wonderful things happen in that local church family setting. And one of the things that's happening all over the earth is that the people are walking away from the assembly of the brethren, and they're walking away from local church, and they say they don't need a pastor,
or
they don't need a local church. Mm-hmm. And I love social media and regular media, and I love to hear a good teacher or an evangelist on TV. Mm-hmm. But you can't call them in the middle of the night when you're having trouble with your child that didn't come home. You need your pastor.
Right.
You know, that's who you're going to call. And when you're in those situations, and they'll cry with you and laugh with you and love with you.
So go ahead. I think too that a lot of people too are leaving what we turned the church into instead of what it was for years. The church, I mean, the most of the church today, even though you put the bigger things on television, I think the average size is like 95 folks or something like that. It's about an average size, in that there's a time you knew everybody, you could eat together. And we begin to grow things larger than a pastor's anointing to be able to. You can't pastor 1,000 people. You're going to have many pastors in that aspect of it, so they can have that intimacy right there. But maybe I know the Lord is bringing family back to His family, and families have fathers and mothers, and we call them you have apostolic fathers, but you have that mothering, fathering, pastoral a feeling that can even be done in various environments, you know, but just knowing that's the one that you call, that's the one that's praying for you, that's the one that's up in the middle of the night, because God, this is how you know too, that if you're truly connected, then God's going to speak to that pastor about you. Mm-hmm. And if you say you're connected, but you're not connected, you shut down, because God knows you're not connected, so He's not going to be speaking maybe some correction or something, He's not going to be speaking that's intimate confirmations that you need from God throughout your day-to-day life. Yeah. And I noticed that those that are connected, even spiritual sons and daughters, that when they're connected, you hear so clearly for them. Mm-hmm. And when they start separating themselves from the body, it's like it just shuts down. Yeah. And it's like you stop, because God will speak to you through His anointed leaders in your life, your shepherds. He literally, they're the ones standing upright, looking over the flock. And God just speaks through His authority, speaks through what He established, the fivefold ministry. Wonderful. And you miss that. You need that. It's not good for a man or a woman to be alone.
No.
Listen, I hate to interrupt, but listen, we're going to come back for this full interview. Join us in our next program. We're going to finish the interview with Dr. Russ Moyer. It gets better from here. But I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just pray a blessing over our audience. God, I thank You for them right now as they're watching on their televisions, watching on their online presence, everywhere they are around the world, God. Encourage them, Father God. All those that are abiding with You, Lord, inspire them with Your voice, Father God. We thank You for those that need healing, that need encouragement, God. Encourage them, we ask You, Lord, in Jesus' name. And God, we ask You, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And we'll see you in the VFNKB community. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.